Romans chapter 1. I want to speak to you tonight a message that I'm going to entitle Knowledge and How to Use It. Knowledge and How to Use It. I'd like to begin reading in verse 16 and read down to the end of the chapter, and I'm going to ask you please to pay very close attention to the Bible as I read these verses. Romans 1, beginning in the 16th verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, and even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I want you to go back, please, and I want you to notice that verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And I want to speak to you tonight on knowledge and how to use it. You know, folks, God has blessed us with giving a great deal of knowledge. God has blessed us. And I want to speak to you tonight on this matter of the knowledge that God has given to us and how we are responsible with that knowledge. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask now that You'll bless the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, it's been a sweet service, and we thank You for all of our faithful people that make this ministry work. There are so many folks that work behind the scenes to do all the things that need to be done. And we just want to thank You, Lord, for the way that You bless. And, Lord, thank You for the faithfulness of so many. And now we pray that You will bless the preaching of the Word. Lord, I pray that You will help me as I speak. There is so much here, and I suppose I could preach for 2 hours without even taking a breath and not even begin to cover the surface of these verses. But Lord, help me to say what needs to be said so that we might realize our responsibility before you. Help us, Father, to understand the message tonight and to see the point. And we'll, even though we scratch the surface of these verses, and Lord, we'll give you praise for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. Before us tonight are some of the most profound words ever written on a piece of paper. Paul explains so much about our world and why things are like they are today. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but in the beginning, probably for several hundred years, in the beginning, just after the Garden of Eden, everyone knew the God of heaven. You ever think about that? I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but right after the flood, probably for a couple of hundred years, everybody knew the God of heaven. Did you ever think about that? There was a time in the beginning, and there was a time when God started over with Noah and his family, when everybody knew God. There was a time when everybody knew what God expected. They understood who God was. There was nobody that did not know the God of heaven. Now it seems like it didn't take long after the Garden of Eden and man sinned, and after the flood and man began to multiply again upon the face of the earth. It did not take long before men were once again turning their hearts against God and doing their own thing, regardless of what God wanted. But if you think about it, there was a time when all living men knew God. Now, would you let that soak into your mind for a minute? Now, this passage of Scripture describes for us what these people did with the knowledge they had and what was the end result of their action. You see, folks, knowledge is a gift given of God so that we might be able to know Him. Knowledge is a gift given to us of God so we can know Him. And the Scriptures deal in a number of places with knowledge and our responsibility to it. The Bible tells us that all men are held accountable for the knowledge that we've been given. Jesus said it this way, where much is given, much shall be required. And much is said in the Bible about how we handle the knowledge that God has given to us. Now, knowledge may be good or it may be bad, depending upon the use that we make of it. For a man to know God or to know of God and then forsake that knowledge, that's a horrible thing in God's eyes. For as you read this passage of Scripture, you see where knowledge that has been abandoned ultimately leads. It does not lead man to a good place. Man takes his knowledge and prostitutes it for his own base carnal wants and wishes, and ultimately uses it to bolster his own unbelief. So we are responsible for the knowledge that God gives us. Someone has rightfully said, knowledge is a land out of which may come a blooming garden or a howling wilderness. Knowledge is a vast sea out of which you may reap pearls or dead men's bones. I have many times from this pulpit said, and every time I say it, I get a letter or an email where somebody doesn't understand what I'm trying to get you to see. And so please understand what I'm saying tonight. My problem, and in most cases this is your problem too, I know too much. I know far more than I practice. I know far more than I obey. And so do you. So does each and every one of us. And we need to realize that where much is given, much is required. God gives us understanding. God gives us knowledge. God gives us His Word so that we can know how to serve and walk with Him. Now, I want you to notice what happened in this passage of Scripture as Paul unveils for us how these people that lived back years ago who knew God and then abandoned that knowledge and forsook that knowledge and then did their own thing. I want you to see the principles and then hopefully show you how we are to handle things as we wrap up the message. First of all, look at your Bible. In verse 21, it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God." You see, the very first thing that we see that happened here, once the knowledge was given, and these people knew God, they decided they didn't want to serve God. They did not want to know God. They knew God up here, but they did not want to know Him. They did not want to fellowship and serve Him. In this world, with all of its spiritual darkness, there has always been a knowledge of God. How can the creature totally forget its creator? When God breathed into man the breath of life, man became a living soul with the knowledge of his creator. It's amazing, but all cultures, past and present, elevate something as a supreme being. Now, they may recognize that supreme being as Father, or they may recognize that supreme being as preserver, or as avenger, or as a rewarder, but all cultures recognize something as the supreme being. And I want you to think about, even the most debased of mankind are still found to have some measure of knowledge of the Creator. But I want you to notice what the text says. Look at verse 18. The Bible says here in the 18th verse, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." I want you to notice what that says. Even just after creation, even just after the flood, when there were only a relatively small number of people on the earth, when all men had knowledge of God, eventually there were those who held back the truth in unrighteousness. They decided they did not want to serve God. They decided they did not want to live for God. Now, how did they do this thing of holding back the righteousness of God? Well, in verse 21, we learn how that was done. In verse 21, "When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." How did they do this? They knew God, but they did not glorify God. And through their own knowledge, created their own God to serve instead of the God that created them. They attempted to get rid of God and to create their own God. And here's what they were doing. They were bringing God down to the level of mankind. They were bringing God down to the level of mankind. This is where you see these statues that people worship. This is where you see totem poles, where you see Buddhas and all the rest of the icons and statues that people put in front of them and worship as their gods. And it's amazing that they always have huge mouths and huge eyes and huge ears. They always have ears bigger than man and mouths bigger than man and eyes bigger than man. And it's funny when you think about it, they have these huge eyes, these huge ears, these huge mouths, and yet they cannot hear a thing, they cannot say a thing, and they cannot speak a thing. It's amazing. But we've lowered God and brought Him down to our level. Rather than serve the true God of heaven, men create their own deities. You've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. I do not believe that anybody is born an atheist. If you are an atheist, somebody has messed with your head. You went to school somewhere and some hotshot professor told you there was no God, and I'm not trying to be unkind here, I'm going to use biblical language. Fool as you are, you believed it. You believed it. I'm not even convinced that there is any such thing as a true atheist. I know there's a lot of people that claim to be atheists, but I'm not convinced that there is such a thing. You let the self-proclaimed atheist stick his finger in a light socket and see who the first person he cries out to is. If you're an atheist, somebody has messed with your head. You see, it is only as man gains knowledge that he becomes vain in his imagination and his foolish heart is darkened. It is only as man rejects the knowledge that God gives him. It is only as man says no to the revelation, to the understanding that God gives him. And once a man becomes vain in his imagination, and humanism takes shape in his life, and he then becomes the center of his own universe, he can think he does not need a knowledge of the true God, and so he tries to convince himself by denying that there is a God. But deny all you want, Mr. Deceived Humanist. You will one day stand face to face with the God you rejected, denied, and scorned. And when you stand before Him face to face, you're going to be singing a different tune. So the question is, with all the knowledge that God has given us, are we glorifying God in our lives? Are we glorifying God in our lives? You know, the boast of our great nation is that we are a quote-unquote Christian nation. Well, that all sounds good, but the truth of the matter is, we are just another heathen nation on this planet. This is not Christian America, this is heathen America. The gospel of Jesus Christ, however, it sounded like a trumpet blast all over our country. But the truth of the matter is, with all the churches and with all the gospel, are we glorifying God? You see, there's an all-out effort in our country to remove God from our society. The devil has launched a full-scale attack upon our nation to remove every vestige of Christianity, the Bible, and the church, lest people get religion shoved down their throats. I think it's strange that they use that as an argument. I find it strange. I mean, we have hip-hop and rap music crammed down our throats on television, but nobody cares about that. Our public schools are telling kids to go home with homework assignments where they have to study Islam, but that's okay. I mean, we can have a burlesque show at the halftime of the Super Bowl, and we have that crammed down our throats. We can have all these Hollywood harlots and starlets strutting around half-dressed all over our society, but whatever you do, don't you put up a manger scene down at the county courthouse. You see, that just might offend somebody. Folks, we've got it all backwards. With our knowledge darkened, we have become a heathen nation. Pastor Holbrook and Pastor Josh have told me and told us in the bus reports that they give about some of the children that our bus workers pick up and bring to church on Sunday morning. And these children have absolutely no idea about God or about Jesus or about the Bible. They are totally clueless. What is this? I'll tell you what it is. It is the product of our atheistic, humanistic, vain imagination, foolish heart being darkened education system that we have in our country. That's what it is. So the first thing that happened here, They knew God, but they glorified Him not as God. Dear friend, with the knowledge you have, are you glorifying God? God has sure blessed you. And God has sure given you an awful lot. Are you glorifying God? The second thing that I want you to see, look at verse 21. It said they glorified Him not as God. Look at this next one. Neither were thankful. Unthankfulness is a sin for which there is no excuse. If a person has knowledge. If a person has knowledge. If someone does something for you or gives you something, and you know who it is that did it, and yet you're not thankful, you have a problem. There's something wrong with you. Dear friend, never forget what God has done for you. Don't ever get over the fact that you got saved. Every person in this room ought to be thankful to God for what the Lord did for you the day that you called upon Him by faith. You ought to be thankful. You live in the greatest country on the face of this earth. With all of its shortcomings, it's still the greatest country. You have a home. You drove to church tonight in a heated automobile. You have clothes on your back. You have food in your stomach. And you're not in hell getting what you deserve. Dear friend, let me tell you, if you know the Lord is your Savior, and you know anything at all about this book, and you know anything at all about the wrath of God, and you understand anything at all about sin and how it affects the God that created us, you ought to be so thankful for what God has done for you when He saved your soul. Now let me give you a way that we can be unthankful. We can be unthankful for when we have a lack of gratitude for mercy shown to us. Do you realize, dear friend, that every breath you breathe is a precious gift from God? Every breath that you breathe. The truth of the matter is, God is under no obligation to keep you out of hell for even one second if you're not saved. If you know Christ is your Savior, then He is obligated to you on the basis of His Word. But if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to realize that that God is under no obligation to keep you out of hell even for one second. The only obligation God has to us is when we are saved. Then He is obligated not to send us to hell. But if you're not saved, dear friend, listen, every single breath, every single second that you have on this planet is God's mercy extended to you, giving you another opportunity to hear the gospel and respond by faith. Has it ever occurred to you just exactly what hell's going to be like? I was putting wood in the stove before I came to church tonight, and I opened up that thing and looked inside, and when that air hits those coals, man, they get red hot. I have to put these leather gloves on to put wood in there sometimes because it gets so hot. And I was putting the wood in the fireplace, and I could feel that heat on my hand. I could feel that, and I thought to myself, man, if I were just to stick my hand right down in the midst of those coals, that would smart. Have you ever thought about being in hell for all of eternity, never having the opportunity to escape, never having the opportunity to get out, constant torment, constant flame, constant suffering, constant agony? Dear friend, let me tell you something. You ought to be thankful for what God has done for you. I'm going to pause for 10 seconds. And I want you just to think for those 10 seconds. Are you ready? Here we go. You know what that 10 seconds was? That was 10 seconds of mercy that God has given to every breathing human being. Just let me ask you, dear friend, do you know the Lord is your Savior? I tell you what, you may know where you work, and you may know where you live, and you may know your wife, or you may know your husband, or you may know your kids, or you may know the person across the street, But all that's not going to amount to a hill of beans one of these days. The main thing you need to know is, am I born again? And God just gave you 10 seconds of mercy. If you're here today and you're 20 years old, or you're 30 years old, or you're 50 years old, or you're 90 years old, you should fall on your face before God, and you just ought to thank God that you're not in hell right now. And if you're not saved, you ought to ask Him to save you. And you ask and He will save. Then number three, quickly, what is the result of all this? Well, look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. It says in verse 21 that when they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God. Neither were they thankful. Well, what did they do? What was the result? Well, here's what happens. When you reject the knowledge of God, when you say no to God, and you become unthankful, even though you're the created and He is the Creator, when you become unthankful and you turn your back on the one that created you, the next thing that's going to happen is eventually you're going to become vain in your imaginations. And your foolish heart is going to become darkened. Oh, you may think you're smart, verse 22, but God says you're a fool. May I remind you that it says over and over in the Psalms, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A man's a fool that turns his back on the God that created him. What's the end result of all this? First of all, they became vain in their imaginations. Let me tell you something, folks. If we do not worship the true God of heaven, we will worship a false God. But we're going to worship something. It's the way we were made. You say, I don't know that I agree with that. All right, just look at Hollywood. I saw it advertised on TV today. The People's Choice Awards are tonight. And I was sitting there listening, and I thought, well, la-ti-da. Who cares? I mean, the news yesterday morning, you know, we had tsunami victims right off at the top of the hour. Then we had Iraq news. And then we had Brad Pitt and Jennifer somebody, Aniston. They're breaking up. Oh no! And I thought, who here is surprised? Raise your right hand. And then secondly, who cares? Raise your left hand. I mean, my soul, people. Don't tell me that we don't worship other things. You either worship God or you worship something. You can worship cars going around the racetrack. You can worship a dead cow that's been cut into an oval shape and stuffed with a bladder and blown up with air. It's called football. Man, y'all slow. There's a lot of things you can worship. You can worship money. You can worship education. You can worship your children. Oh, I can't come to church Sunday night. Why? Well, you know, the kids. Oh, so the kids are more important than God. Is that what you're saying? I got quiet right there. You can worship drugs or alcohol. You can worship some power, some prestige. You can worship a lot of different things. But you will worship something. You will worship something. The question is, what are you glorifying and worshiping in your life? When Sunday rolls around and you lay out a church You're being vain in your imaginations. You are saying, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do here. I'm going to do what I want to do, and that is vanity. And you know better. You know better. You're putting yourself ahead of God. And you do that over time, and it just gets easier to do it with each and every passing week. And the next thing you know, you're one of those CE church members. You know what that means? Christmas and Easter. You become a used-to-be kind of Christian. Oh, aren't you in a choir? Yeah, I used to be. Don't you go to Sunday school? Well, I used to go. Oh, didn't you come to the 8:30 service? Well, I used to go to the 8:30 service. Oh, weren't you in the orchestra? Well, I used to be in the orchestra. And the point I'm making is, we know better. It's not like we don't have any knowledge. I mean, my soul, for 37 years now, this church has preached the Bible. I mean, we know what we're responsible for. And our church membership, sadly to say, as is the church way it is with church membership everywhere, our church membership is filled with folks that used to be. I run into them all the time. I mean, everywhere you go, you go down the mall, walk down the mall, and there's used to be's all over the mall. You go out to the restaurants to eat, and there's used to be's. Hey, preacher, how you doing? I'm fine. And they'll walk away, and my wife will say, who is that? I recognize. Oh, well, they used to come to church. Used to be's. Somewhere along the way, they became vain in their imaginations. You know, folks, when we think that we've been done wrong, or we've been mistreated, or we've been overlooked, we can become vain in our imaginations. Folks, would you just keep your eyes on the Lord? Good night. Don't put your eyes on me. Don't put your eyes on any of these guys sitting on this platform. Don't put your eyes on your Sunday school teacher. Put your eyes on Jesus. Don't put your eyes on anybody who fills up the seats up here in this choir loft. You put your eyes on the Lord. You keep your eyes on God and don't allow the vain imaginations of your heart to overcome sound thinking. Then what happened? Well, look at it. It says that their foolish hearts were dark. They became foolish. The Greek word here, are you ready for this? Morons. That's the Greek word. God looks at people who are filled with themselves and filled with their own vanity, and they don't have time for Him. Well, they know that they should, but they just don't. They just put everything else in front of the Lord, and God looks down and says, you bunch of morons. My goodness, what's wrong with you? When men won't glorify God by living for Him, let me tell you something, folks, all sorts of foolishness can ensue. I know you're not going to like this, but you probably haven't liked a lot of things you've heard tonight, but you're not going to like this. Some of you aren't. But this is the only explanation for the contemporary movement. It's the only explanation you can come up with. But wait a minute. This is the only explanation for the Bible of the Month Club. What in the world ever got into the heart of anybody to sit down and say, you know, I think we ought to rewrite the Bible? It's not your book. Keep your paws off of it. This is the only explanation for all this charismatic confusion. This is the only explanation for women preachers. I just might as well dump the whole truck on you. You know, I mean, if I'm going to dig my hole, I might as well dig it 8-10 feet deep. This is the only explanation for women preachers. Women aren't supposed to preach. Paula White's not supposed to preach. And that other girl, what's her name? Joyce Meyer. Why did I
look at you when I asked that question. I don't know. I just figured you'd know. I just figured if anybody up here know, you know. I don't know. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's where you get your Sunday school lesson, right? Hey, folks, hold on. You might want to give that seatbelt one little tug here just so you don't fall out on the floor. This is the only explanation for El Papa, the Pope. Men became vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, folks, listen. I know most of you here, and you all know me. There are no perfect people in this room. I mean, I can scan this room from top to bottom, and there's not even anybody close. And yet there are millions around the world who see a man born of a woman as infallible. You say, well, it's pretty speaking ex cathedral. Big whoop. You're still saying he's infallible. Doesn't matter when you say he's infallible, you're saying he's infallible. And you know, that is just totally contrary to what I read in the Bible. My Bible tells me, for all have sinned, and that includes Pope John Paul, the whatever he is. So, how do you explain that? Well, it has to be that there was a time when men knew God, but they made a conscious decision and they said, even though I know this, I'm not going to do what this says. I'm going to do my own thing. And so I'm going to invent me my own God, and I'm going to put a white robe on him, put some jewelry around him, put a little hat on his head, put him in a glass little golf cart, and run him all over the place and tell everybody, this is my God. Now you laugh because it's ridiculous. And it's nothing more than what is explained here in these verses. You mark it down, dear friend. A heart that will not feed at God's table will riot somewhere. And the end result of all this has a sad ending. If you look at verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28, God gives them up. God gives them up, and then God just gives them over to a reprobate mind. As if to say, if you won't glorify me and serve me, just go ahead and glorify yourself. And you know, it grieves my soul when I think about the fact that there has been so many people that God has dealt with and God has spoken to, and they said no. And God says, okay, I'm just going to give you over. You just do your own thing. If that's what you want to do, I won't bother you no more. And they're going to die lost, not hearing the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and live for yourself. Do your own thing. But you will regret the way you have lived once you stand before me and give an account of the life that I gave you. Let me tell you something, folks. Knowledge is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And we are going to be held accountable for what we know. Where much is given, much is required. God has blessed this church with a tremendous amount of knowledge. God has given us an incredible amount of knowledge about Him, and we need to put that knowledge to work and use it to glorify God. God wants you to live for Him. God wants you, by your life and your love, to glorify Him as you learn day by day the eternal Word of the living God. May God help us to use the knowledge He's given us. Let's bow for prayer.